How many of you guys in here have read the story of Samson in the scriptures? Okay, everybody, just about. If you haven't, Samson was like a real-life superhero in the Old Testament. And you may remember Delilah in the story. She's the bad, one of the bad people. She comes along and she's trying to get Samson to tell her the secret of his strength because she's secretly working for the enemy and wants to take that strength away. And she keeps coming to him and keeps coming to him. And what's the source of your strength? What's the source of your strength? What's the source of your strength? And there's this narrative where Samson doesn't tell her and he doesn't tell her. And then finally he does. Guys, what was the source of Samson's strength? His hair. And what was that linked to ultimately, though? It's to God. It wasn't just because he had long hair. Otherwise, everybody'd be growing their hair out, right? It was connected to this vow that he had made to God and that his parents had commanded him. His power ultimately rested in God. Now, if you want to be powerful, yeah, Chris Kelly, you'd especially be in trouble. If you want to be powerful, where is your power going to come from? Okay, easy Bible class answer, right? Yeah, it's the same place. And it even says this in Ephesians 3:20. This is, by the way, you've got some notes in your bulletin if you want to pull those out. It has all the scriptures and everything on there. But Ephesians 3:20 says, God, by his mighty power at work within us, is able to do far more than we would ever dare or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hope. If we're going to be powerful, the power is ultimately going to come from God. And he's going to work within us to make us powerful, to make our lives meaningful, to make our lives matter, to use us to do some heroic things in the world. But if we're not connected to him, are we ever going to be able to tap into that power? No. And so what we're going to look at this morning is just on a practical level, some ways we can tap into this power that God has made available to all of us. And the first one is that God will give me super strength, number one, when I study his word. God will give me super strength when I study his word. How many of you guys are familiar with the story of Superman? Okay. The guys who wrote that initially modeled Superman after Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this, but his name is Kal-El in the comics. El is Hebrew for God. And his father's name is Jor-El. And in the story of Superman, Father El, Father God, sends Kal-El, Son God, into Earth to make the Earth a better place. And His mother's name initially was Mary. They changed it later to Martha. But there's a lot of just crossover between who Superman is and the story of Superman and the story of Jesus Christ. And they did that intentionally. They wanted to create this savior, messianic figure to come into the world. But you may notice that one of the things that Superman did in order to become Superman was he went to the Fortress of Solitude, which is where he communed with his father, and he learned who he really was. It's sort of this parallel between Jesus in the wilderness in the Gospels, where Jesus goes into the wilderness, and he's tempted by Satan. He spends time communing with his father, and then he comes out of that and starts his ministry. It was the same for Superman. He goes to this fortress of solitude, then comes out and starts going around saving the world. But I think what they were onto is there's something about getting alone with the father. There's something about spending time in that intimate relationship with the Father that helps us become powerful. And that is a very true teaching in the Scriptures. If we are going to be powerful, we do that through ultimately relationship, first and foremost, relationship with our Father. Guys, are you going to have a relationship with anybody that's healthy that you don't spend any time with? Are you going to know your father if you don't spend the time there? God's word is not simply a book. It is not simply written material that we read and it's just like any other book. It is a window through which we can see God. And we say all the time in here that Christianity is not about following rules. And that's what a lot of people view the Bible is, as a rule book that you have to follow. I read this to learn the rules. Really what it is it's an opportunity to get to know God who wants a relationship with you. And that's what Christianity is about. It's not about rules. It is about relationship. And as I spend time in the Word, I'm able to see God for who He is. I'm able to find out what He thinks about the world. I'm able to think about how His mind works, what honors Him, what dishonors Him, what pleases Him, what displeases Him, how He relates to me, how I should relate to Him. And as I study that and spend that time and pray and listen, I get closer to Him just like I would get closer to another human being that I spend time with and talk to and listen to and find out their likes and dislikes. It's relational. It's relational. And it's through that relationship that we become more powerful. It says in Romans 16:25, God can strengthen you by the good news and the message I tell you about Jesus Christ. He can strengthen you by revealing the mystery. That's the mystery of who He is and how He relates to the world and how Jesus fits into that. Acts 20:32, and now I give you into the care of God and the word of His grace, which is able to make you strong and to give you your heritage among all the saints. It straight up says that God's word makes us strong precisely because it helps us get connected relationally to the Father. By the way, this isn't on your notes, but Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. I tell my kids all the time, I'll ask them, what's the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life? And you can ask any of my kids this question if you'd like. They will tell you whether I'm going to follow Jesus or not. That's the most important decision I'm ever going to make. That is the choice to have faith or not to have faith. That choice is going to have the most profound effect on your life and your just day-to-day and your legacy and everything else, your eternity. That's going to have more of an effect than anything. If you want to build your faith and help make that good decision, it comes from getting into the Word. That's precisely why this is so powerful. Your faith, your choice to have faith or not, is going to affect your life more than any other choice you will ever make. And getting into the Scriptures helps you make a good choice. This isn't, this is just a side note, the second most important decision you're ever going to make, who you marry. Ask my kids that. Of everything in your life, that's going to be the second most profoundly impactful thing in your life. And so if you make a good decision there, great consequences. If you make a poor decision, poor consequences, right? Very, very, very important. Secondly, God can make me powerful if I trust in His promises, if I trust His promises. This is a question that is wrapped up in hope. What do you hope in? What do you look forward to? There's a story about a man named Abraham way back in Genesis. Abraham was a man who lived at a time when God came and spoke to him and said, hey, I want you to pack up all your stuff, all your belongings. This was in the ancient world where they had cattle and sheep and servants and everything else. He said, I want you to pack everything up and I want you to move to this other place. And I'm not even going to tell you exactly where it is. I just want you to go till I tell you to stop, and then I'm going to give you this new land. I'm going to help you have descendants. I'm going to do all this stuff. And so Abraham hears from God, and he goes and tells his family and his friends and his servants and everything, God spoke to me and told me we need to take all of our stuff in this comfortable place where we have all the stuff and all our needs met, and we need to move to this other place. And I don't know where it is, but we just need to go. And this was at a time in the world where bandits were a real threat, and like you could die if you traveled, and you know, you didn't want to do that. And so guess how his family reacts? Not so good. His wife thinks he might have lost it, and there's a lot that's not written in the text, but we can assume probably other people thought he lost it. And he gets up and moves, and he doesn't let that deter him. Why would a man do something crazy like that? Because he believed what God had told him. And he had faith and hope that regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what it looks like, God told me to do this, I'm going to do this. I know there are some unknowns, I know this is scary, but I'm going to do this because my faith is in the one who spoke to me and said this is all going to turn out all right. Now, did everything turn out all right for Abraham? Absolutely it did. That doesn't mean there weren't some bumps along the way, but man, God fulfilled all of those promises and ultimately created a nation from that man that led to Jesus Christ coming into the world and blessing the entire world. That's a pretty cool legacy, isn't it? It started, though, with him putting his faith there. He had to make a choice to believe God about having descendants and these other promises, and his choice to believe God led to his power to live life boldly. He had to make a choice to have faith. He had to make a choice to hope. Do any of you ever feel like you don't have anything to look forward to in life? Because that's all it means to be hopeless. I know there was a time in my life when I was suicidal and I was serious about committing suicide. I was going to end it. I didn't have anything to look forward to in my life. And whenever you don't have anything to look forward to in your life, suicide begins to look like a good option. Because if all I have to look forward to is pain and bad stuff, why not? Right? I get it. That's a lie, though. That's a lie from Satan. God loves every single one of us. God is real. He loves every single one of us, and he has a great life in store for all of us. He has a great life in store for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to make you something more. He wants a relationship with you. There's a person that he created you to be. There are things that he created you to do, and he wants nothing more than for you to put your hope in him and your trust in him and then let him work with you and push through the discomfort of changing to become this person he created you to be, deal with your issues or whatever else, and then let him use you. That's what he wants. But you know what? You have to make the choice to believe that. Everything I just said is true. Everything I just said is true. But you can believe it or not. And if you choose to believe it, that's going to put you on a path toward relationship and blessing and all this stuff. But if you choose to not, you're going to melt away in your sorrows. Hope is a choice. Abraham had a choice. It says in Isaiah 30:15, the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says to the people, come back and quietly trust me. Then you will be strong and secure. But these people didn't want to. It says, but they refused to do it. Romans 4:21, what God promises, he is able to perform. Just like it was a choice for them, just like it was a choice for Abraham, hope and trust is a choice for us. You are not a victim. You are in charge. You get to choose what you want to believe in. Number three, I obey his commands. If I want the strength from God, I must obey his commands. 2 Chronicles 16:9. This is also tied up in trust. Guys, do you trust enough to obey? Remember that song, Trust and Obey? They're linked, right? 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Lord is constantly watching everyone, and he gives strength to those who faithfully obey him. And he's talking here to, in this context of 2 Chronicles, there was a king named Asa, who God wanted to bless, but Asa chose to turn his back on God and go and trust in other things. And that's why it says, but you have done a foolish thing and your kingdom will never be at peace again. This man did not trust God. But look at this first sentence. That's what I want us to really pay attention to, this truth here. The Lord is constantly watching everyone, and he gives strength to those who faithfully obey him. Did you know faithfully obeying God, honestly, is a rare thing? Even in church culture, guys, there are, I think if God just pointed people out, man, it would be a short list that of people that are faithfully obeying him. But I'm sure all of you know spiritual giants. All of you know people who you're like, man, what is up with that person? Why are they? It could be that God is strengthening those spiritual giants because of their obedience. You know, in the scriptures, Jesus says this is linked to loving God. And those who love me will obey me. Those who don't, won't. Do you love God? Do you love him enough to obey? Because we can attend church and we can read our Bibles and not do any of it and stay weak. Do you think that's what God wants for you? I heard a guy talking one time. He said, this guy with a lot of kids, he said, you know, my kids, when I tell them to go clean their room, I expect them to go clean their room. If they come back to me and say, hey, I told you to clean your room. If they come back and say, well, did you clean your room? No. What did you do? Well, we went and got together with some of our friends and sat around in a circle about what it would look like if we cleaned our room. And we discussed all the different ways that, you know, this could potentially happen. But did you clean your room? No. What's going to happen to my kids? They're going to be in trouble, right? If I say go clean my room or go clean your room, go clean your dang room. Don't go sit around talking about cleaning your room and never get around to cleaning your room. Go clean your room. Sometimes I think God can be that way. You know, we come and we read the Bible or we get together in small groups and we talk about obedience and we talk about things we need to change and we talk about attitudes that we know conflict with what the Bible is teaching us to do. But guys, if we're not careful, it can just be talk. If we don't get around to applying what we're learning, it can just be talk. And the less you apply, the more you just sit around and talk, the easier it becomes the next time to just sit around and talk. And guys, we can't be a church like that if we're going to make an impact on the world that God wants us to. We've got to be people that when we're convicted, when we read the scriptures and we see something we need to change, we do it. We change it. We don't just talk about it. Because all we're doing is setting ourselves up for the next time we get together, we just talk about it. Did you clean your room? No, but we discuss what it would look like, right? Don't do that. Don't do that. Matthew 7, 24 and 25, Jesus is talking and he said, anyone who hears and obeys these teachings of mine is like a wise person who built a house on a solid rock. Rain poured down, rivers flooded, winds beat against that house, but it didn't fall because it was built on a solid rock. You know, there's another man that Jesus talks about in that parable, the foolish man. And he says that that man's house fell down because it was built on sand. It was built on a shifting, shaky foundation. And Jesus knew something about foundations because he swung a hammer for a living. He'd probably seen some structures built on shaky foundations. What was the difference between the wise man and the foolish man in the story? Who heard the word? Both of them. Both of them heard the word. The difference between the wise man and the foolish man is the wise man heard and obeyed. The foolish man just heard and went along his way. Both of them heard. Application, guys, is so important. If we're not applying the scriptures, we're not going to tap into this power. God wants to make you powerful. You have to apply the scriptures to your life, not just listen to them. Number four, if I want this strength from God, I must value his people. I value his people. Now, I'm not trying to start a fight, but Marvel kills DC in the superhero world. Does anybody disagree? And Batman is not a superhero. He's just rich. He even says so in Justice League. Yeah, but I like him. I was homeschooled when I was a kid for a few years, and I used to go with my mom to the grocery store during the week. And she would shop for about an hour and a half every week. You know, she had her run through the store. It took her an hour and a half. And so what I would do is I would go sit on the comic book aisle, and I would just read the comic books the whole time. And I only had like one that I would buy, and I would spend my allowance money, but then I would read all of them. So I've got all this stuff in my head from when I was like 10, 11 years old. Always loved Marvel. Always loved, Wolverine and the X-Men and all those guys. But you want to know, those guys were on superhero teams. The ones who were able to do the most were the ones that were together and on teams. There's something about this Infinity War movie that's coming out for the first time. Who's going to go see Infinity War when it comes out? Okay, everybody. We've been waiting for this movie for like 20 years, right? For the first time, not only are you going to have just a couple of heroes getting together, you're going to have like multiple heroes, like different teams actually getting together. So everybody's really excited about it, that's a fan of that stuff. But we can do more together, right? You can do more together. If you take any of those guys, if they're going to fight this world killer or whoever this guy is that's coming, they're not going to do it individually and win. But you put them all together as a team, you're going to make some progress, right? You and I are no different. If we really want to be who God wants us to be, do you think you can do it by yourself? Absolutely not. We need one another. I can tell you that my marriage has been blessed. My individual life has been blessed. My parenting has been blessed because I've invited other people into my life who are able to speak into my life, who are a little further down the road than I am, or who have dealt with some things that I haven't dealt with. And my marriage would be terrible if I didn't have those kinds of relationships that go beyond just kind of the how you doing, I'm fine sort of thing, where I can actually sit down and talk with people, or you know, people can come and say, hey, you're really screwing up right here in this area. I've got that kind of family around me. And this is part of why we do small groups here. If you're new to the Crossings, you may not have heard us talk about that. In addition to meeting on Sunday mornings, we also have cell groups, small groups, that meet at different times throughout the week. Most of us, a couple of times a month on Sunday afternoons, we'll get together. But then we also have the women getting together once a week, the men getting together once a week. We go and do things together. But it's in those groups that we're able to really get to know one another, get to know how we're doing. It's good to come here and listen to a sermon, but God didn't intend for your faith to revolve around looking at the backs of people's heads. He never intended it that way. Christianity is a face-to-face experience when it's done the way God wants it to be done. And so that's why we have those cell groups, so we're able to have those relationships. Because where I'm weak, you may be strong. Where you're weak, I may be strong. And together, we become something more, just like these groups of superheroes that are able to go out and do amazing things. Guys, there are things in life that is going to hit you that you're never going to be able to conquer on your own. You need other people. You need relationships. This is true today. It was true in the scriptures too. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, we sent our brother Timothy to you. His mission was to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. Sometimes God puts people in our life because they can strengthen us where we are weak. Paul sent Timothy to this church in Thessalonica because he wanted that one individual to strengthen that community. And he sent him there with a purpose, and Timothy did it. Colossians 2:19. Notice how many times the word we shows up here. We are joined together in his body by his strong sinews, and we grow as we get our nourishment and strength from God. That does not say I over and over. This is a communal thing. God created us to be part of the church. We grow together as we are part of the church. And again, guys, this goes beyond. Coming here is great, but I really think this has these relationships in mind that go beyond just the Sunday morning experience. They didn't just meet on Sunday mornings in the scriptures. They were in one another's homes. They were hanging out during the week. They were having meals together. They were family. It was a much different experience when I look at the scriptures than what is common in our country today as far as church experience goes. There are things that are weird in our context here when you compare them with what's in the scriptures. But this relational aspect is very, very important. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, it says, two people are better than one. If one falls, the other can help his friend get up. But how tragic it is for the one who is all alone when he falls. Again, if two people lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person keep warm? Though one person may be overpowered by another, two people can resist one opponent. A triple braided rope is not easily broken. We need each other. And this, guys, this goes back to the Garden of Eden. What did God say about the man being alone? it is not good for the man to be alone. So he created the woman and put them together, and that's when God said, very good, regarding his creation. That is the only time in all of Scripture that you will hear God refer to something as very good. Whenever people were together. That's God's intention for you. Number five, I will get strength from God if I accept his correction. If I accept his correction. If you ever read the Batman comic, Batman's parents died, but he had Alfred in his life. Alfred, his butler, who was also a father figure to him. Alfred is old and wise, and guess who Batman doesn't listen to? Alfred. There are so many times where he gets himself into trouble because he, in his pride, thinks that he knows better, and it ends up costing him a lot in the stories because he doesn't listen. Are you going to listen to the people God has placed in your life or to the Word? In Titus 1, verse 12 isn't on your notes, but I'm going to read it just to give you some context. This is Paul writing, one of Crete's own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. And then he says in 13, this is true. So rebuke them as sternly as necessary to make them strong in the faith. Have you guys ever been called a Cretan? Crete is actually an island over near Greece. But these people were known for being wild. And even in the first century, Paul's like, yeah, these people are known for this, this, and this. Yeah, that's all true. So you tell them to get their act together to Timothy, or to Titus, rather. He tells them to rebuke them sternly as necessary to make them strong in the faith. Who in here likes being rebuked? Do you know what a rebuke is? It's when somebody tells you you're wrong about something. Who likes being told they are wrong? We get these opinions, we get these attitudes, we get these different habits or things, and then somebody comes along and tells us we need to change because that's not right. Who in school, when the teacher put an X on your paper, just jumped up and down with joy and clapped your hands? Yay, I love this. No, it doesn't feel good. It wouldn't feel good for Titus to go and tell these people that they're lazy gluttons who need to change. Paul's just like, yeah, go tell them that. That doesn't feel like love sometimes, right? When I spank my children, it doesn't feel like love. That's why I have to explain it to them afterwards. Do you know why Dad did this? Because you love me? They say that because I explain it to them. Yes, you were jumping off the couch after you were told this many times not to. We have a concrete floor. You're going to split your head open if you don't stop. You were warned. You disobeyed. You got a spanking, right? Connect the dots to spanking, busted open head, right? And Eden will even say, you give me little pain so that I can avoid big pain. I'm like, you're right. That's right. That's the same as a rebuke in the church, guys. We endure the minor pain of getting our feelings hurt, or whatever it might be, to avoid the bigger pain that sin is going to lead to. And so this comes down to, are you going to be humble or not? This is something I struggle with, guys. You know, sometimes when I get confronted with things, if I'm not careful, I can get discouraged. And I can focus so much on my being wrong about something, and in my pride, I don't want to be wrong about anything, which is so unrealistic. But we've got to be humble. And we honestly, I just need to get over myself sometimes in order to take correction and grow. Because this says, rebuke them sternly as necessary to what? To make them strong. Do you want to be strong? Do you want to be strong? Then you better get over thinking that you're right about everything and that you're fine the way you are and you don't need to change anything. You got to get over that. And you need to invite... This is coming from another person. You need to invite those people into your life that can just be straight with you, that have some wisdom, that are going to ultimately lead you to what God says about things, because that's all that matters, right? Psalm 145 or 141 verse 5. Let the godly strike me. It will be a kindness. If they reprove me, it is a soothing medicine. It will be an act of kindness. Don't let me refuse it. This is David speaking. A man who messed up massively in his life when he messed up with Bathsheba. If you don't know the story, he slept with his one of his good friend's wives and got her pregnant. And then he tried to cover it up by getting his friend to go sleep with his wife, but it was in the season of battle, and his friend refused because he wanted to be out on the battlefield. You want to know what David did? He went behind that guy's back and gave some secret orders to have that guy killed on the battlefield to cover up his sin. And guess what God did? He sent Nathan, a prophet, to come and speak to David and to basically give him what he needed in the form of a massive rebuke. He told this story about a poor man who had a little sheep, and that was his only possession, was this little sheep, and then a rich man came along and took the sheep and killed it and ate it and fed it to his friends. And David said, "That man deserves death." And then Nathan said, "Well, that's you. You're the rich man because you came and took this guy's only thing, his wife, and then you killed the man. You're that man." And David was convicted because God sent a person into his life to give him a hard dose of truth. Guys, we need that. And that's why later in life, David writes this psalm and says, "Man, let them come and let them get after me, because that's kindness. It's going to help me overcome sin. It's going to help me grow." Do you have that attitude? Or when somebody comes to you and brings scripture to you and says, "You need to look at this, you need to consider this," do you say, "Well, they don't know what they're talking about, and I'm going to leave that church because I don't like this pain that I'm feeling, and I'm going to go over here to this other church where nobody will ever talk to me that way," and you never grow? We need this. We need this. And then finally, number six, if we want this strength from God, I have to receive His Spirit. I receive His Spirit. I mentioned earlier, Batman's not a superhero. There's some debate about that. But there is an inherent difference between Batman, who fights with his gadgets and his wealth, and Superman, who is a Kryptonian alien with inherent powers that he gets from the sun. If those guys got in a fight, it wouldn't be a fight. That's why everybody hated that movie, Batman versus Superman, and it did so poorly at the box office because it was so dumb. I mean, this is all fictional, but if you just apply the rules of the fictional universe that they created, that's a dumb fight. Batman has no chance. Not a fight. It's not 2 hours. It's 2 seconds, right? Unless what? Unless he had kryptonite. That's true. Yeah. It's an inherent difference, though, because there's something within Superman that makes him different from Batman. And the Bible teaches that when we give our lives to Christ, there is something within us, someone within us, who makes us powerful. It says in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you," talking to the early disciples. In James 4:5 and 6, "What do you think the scripture means when it says that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, watches over us with tender jealousy, but He gives us more and more strength to stand against all such evil longings?" As the scripture says, God gives strength to the humble, but sets Himself against the proud and haughty. Notice that it says that the Spirit of God is within us. Did you know that Jesus said to His disciples when He was walking the earth that it's going to be better for you when I leave because the Spirit is going to come? Did you guys know that we today are in a better position in terms of relationship with God than even those who walked physically with Jesus, according to Jesus? Did you know that? That's crazy. But Jesus says it's actually better to have the Spirit of God living within you than it is to have me physically beside you without the Spirit of God within you. Now that's a challenging teaching, but that's what he says is true. It says in Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2:38, if you want to know how we get and receive the Holy Spirit, Peter answered them, all of you must turn to God and change the way you think and act. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. This is the normative way we receive the Spirit of God. It is a person, he is a person, that is placed within our hearts when we make the commitment to give our lives to Jesus. And the Bible teaches that he will convict us of our sin. He will help us in our relationship with God. He will give us wisdom. He will help us see the world the way God sees it. When we share a spirit with God, we suddenly may start looking at sin the way God sees it. But we still have our ability to choose, because we can also grieve the Holy Spirit within us if we choose poorly how to live or how to be or how to think. And so he is with us, though. He's called the helper, the paraclete. He stands beside us. He holds our hand. He doesn't control us, but he is with us. And some of you may think, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, I don't know what it feels like to have the Spirit. I believe that I have the Spirit. And I would just say, if you struggle with that, Jesus says the Spirit is like the wind. Can you see the wind? No. Can you see the effects of the wind? Look back on your life. Can you see the effects of the Spirit in your life? It's a win way to think about it, right? But the Bible teaches the Spirit of God makes us powerful. And it starts with your having a relationship with God. Every single aspect of this ties back in to being connected closely to God and being connected to other people. If you want to be powerful, if you want to be something more, every single thing the Bible has to say relates this to being connected to God and connected to other people who are also connected to God. That is how you become powerful. We are a church that wants to be connected to you. We have a group of people here that come from a diverse array of backgrounds. We all have different hurts and different experiences in life that have shaped us into who we are. Many of us in this room were abused as kids, sexually or physically or mentally. I was sexually abused as a kid. There are ladies here who have had abortions. There are people who have been through divorces. There are people who have struggled with addictions to drugs, addictions to alcohol, addictions to pornography. There are people here that have all kinds of pain and wounds that God has helped us heal from. There are many people here that still need healing. But you want to know what God wants to do? He wants you to be connected to him and connected to other people, and he wants to bind up your wounds. He wants to make you something more and help you so that in the future, he can use you to help others. And it's amazing to me how many people I get connected with. It's like God puts me in their path because they are struggling with the same mess that I've struggled with in my life. And I'm able to connect with them on a level that I would have never been able to connect with them if I hadn't gone through half the stuff I'd gone through. God will take that and he'll use it in a powerful way. And it really is fulfilling. It really makes you look forward to getting up in the morning and getting after it. It really gives you that sense of hope. And I got a lot to look forward to. I got a lot to do. And I know several of us in the room are the same way. I don't know where you're at, but I can tell you where that transformation in my life started with me. It started with me wanting that connection to God and other people. We've got a communication card in this bulletin that I'd like you to pull out. At the end of every service, we give you an opportunity to respond. And I don't know where you're at this morning. If you're just starting this journey, if you're just investigating, or if you've been around a long time, but I want to encourage all of us to pull this out and to respond. I mentioned earlier small groups. If you've been coming to the Crossings, or if this, even if this is your first time, if you're interested in small groups, we want to get you connected. And I'll tell you, that's where the magic really happens in our church. It's great to come on Sundays. It's great to hear lessons. Anytime we open up the scriptures and read them and try to apply them, guys, that's a good thing. That's never a bad thing. God does something supernatural when we sit at the feet of somebody else and learn. But where the magic really happens today, just like in the first century, is when we're looking at each other face to face, and I'm getting to know you, and you're getting to know me, and we're getting to know each other, and we're able to sharpen one another. That's where the magic really happens. So if you're not connected to a small group already, indicate on here that you're interested, and we will have someone follow up with you. And we'll look at some scriptures with you and talk about where you're at on some things. But we want to make sure every single person in here gets the care and the attention that they need, because we believe God put you here for a reason. And we believe that God wants to make you something more and to use you powerfully in the world, but you've got to be connected to Him and other people in order for that to happen. If I said something else this morning, or you see something else on this card that you need help with, if you need help, want to talk with somebody confidentially about issues you had, I mentioned childhood sexual abuse and other things, if you want to talk with somebody about that and get help, if you're struggling with an addiction of some kind and you want to get help, guys, we have people here that can help you. If you've had an abortion in your past and you want to talk to somebody who understands and who cares, who can identify with that, who's found healing in God and can tell you how you can too, mark it on here and we'll talk to you. I don't know what your need might be, but I'm going to pray for us and we're going to sing a song. And during that first song, if you would just fill this card out, everybody in here, during that second song, we'll pass some baskets and you can turn them in. But I want to thank you guys for being here today. And let's pray and we'll wrap it up. God, thank you again for your word and for just for hoping for us, Lord. I know it is so easy to get into the routine and get used to the way life is, when I know your hope for us often is for life to be much different and life to be much better. And Father, I just pray as we meditate on what it is to be something more this morning, to be powerful, to have super strength, that we will not forget that that is ultimately wrapped up in our connection to you and other people. And if there's anything we need to change in order to be more fully connected to you and connected to other people, God, I pray that we change it. Convict our hearts as we fill out these cards. It's in your name I pray. Amen.